From over in the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. In the 5th verse, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. For they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept upon precept, upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Hallelujah. How are you looking for the refreshing? God's got a refreshing, hasn't he? Now, I'd like to say that my people, I've got some people here that I see under the tent, and they work with me faithfully, very faithfully they work with me. Brethren like Bill and Brother Gary and the different ones, Brother Taylor and others, they're so very faithful to work with me and to share with me in the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They stand by my side, Brother Wayne and some of the others out here. They stand with me, Brother Junior back here. I noticed Brother Cantrell from down in Georgia. Brother Cantrell not too long ago came and gave, I guess it must have been $1,200 to $1,500 at one time to the work of God. These people stand with me. They love the Lord and they want to see souls won. And it does my heart good to see some of them here with me tonight. But I appreciate them. And someday they will receive a reward. The Bible teaches that if you bid a thing Godspeed, then you're partakers of it. Some people, you know, they won't work through a ministry, and they won't work through a minister. They'll take their money and they'll put it wherever they want to. They'll continually spend their money wherever they take a notion to put their dollar. That's where they're going to put their dollar. They're not going to work through the ministry. To begin with, they're in violation of the Holy Scripture. And the Bible tells us to bring all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse. But you know, some people say, well, my grandma's sick, my grandpa's sick. I want to give it to my uncle or my first cousin or my sister or my brother's having trouble. And so they give their tithes, their offering and whatnot. And they feel like they're giving that to God. What a pity. What a pity that anybody would be so blind. And they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars outside of the ministry when God doesn't give them the right to do that. Because God set the ministry in the church, and in the early church, they sold all they had, they brought it, laid it down at the feet of the apostles, and the apostles had men appointed to take charge of it and to do what was right. But nevertheless, that's the way people do, and as a consequence of that, they really don't win souls for God. They just do what they want to with their money, and they don't even much receive a reward for God, other than in this present world. Now, you can give and help the poor and do all those things, and God will give you something in this world. You'll get more money for money. You invest money, you'll get more money. You'll get more prestige. You'll get more blessings in this life as far as material gain, and that you can't give a cup of water without receiving a reward. But see, those that goes God's way and follows God's order, they're the ones that's going to win souls, and they're the ones that's going to be up yonder on the other side to inherit the treasures of heaven. Somebody say amen. It's so anyhow. You know, a lot of times we don't like to say amen to something when it crosses our grain, but we're going to have it, children of God. We're going to have to accept it whether we want to or not. If we ever get into that city, we're going to accept it. It's just like the laws of today. We don't like to bow down to the laws. We don't like to obey the laws, but we do that or wind up in prison. How do you know that you serve the law one way or another? You either serve the law by obedience and reverence, or you serve the law in prison under constraint. Isn't that right? That's the way it is with God. You serve God either as God's freeman, where God can bless you and give you all the good things of life, or you serve God in that God will constrain you to do it, prepare your heart unto destruction, lead you into temptation, and turn you into hell. Hallelujah! Glory to God. There's one thing that I believe that our churches have made a great mistake in, and that is leaving it to the minds of the people that they are a sovereignty to serve God or not serve God. The people of today have left people with a feeling that if they want to serve God, they can serve God. If not, it's just up to them. Just do whatever they want to do. It'll be all right with God. Now, I agree this much, that you are a sovereignty and you can serve God if you want to and not serve God if you want to. But like I said, if you don't serve God, you'll go to hell. See, if you call that power of choice, then I don't understand what power of choice is. Is that right? A man tell me not to go down the road. If I go down the road, I'm going to go off in the creek. Now he said you can suit yourself about it. You can turn around and go this way or you can go that way. That ain't too much power of choice to me. Is that right? Peter commanded them on the day of Pentecost that they had to repent of their sins. He didn't say if you want to, but he said you've got to do it. You've got to do it or perish, Peter said. That was the gospel. Jesus hasn't changed. It's still the same gospel today. You've got to repent or perish. You've got to obey God or go to hell. You've got to obey the Lord Jesus Christ or suffer. You can't just take this thing of just going anywhere, doing anything and saying, well, it's a sovereignty. If I want to be Methodist, I can be Methodist. If I want to be Baptist, I can be Baptist. If I want to be UPC, I can be UPC. If I want to be Catholic, I can be Catholic. If I want to be a hippie, I can be a hippie. If I don't want to be nothing, I don't have to be nothing. God commands you and me to be Christians, and that's all there is to it. There ain't nothing else included. He just said we've got to be Christ-like, which means to be Christians. They were called Christians over to Antioch, which means to be Christ-like. That was the first thing they done. Isn't that right? And that's exactly what you and I have got to do, brothers and sisters. So then, Brother Pike's not here to preach to you that this is an optional thing. I'm not here to preach to you that you are a sovereignty, that you can serve God or not serve God. I'm here to preach to you that you've got to repent of your sins or die and go to hell and wish and be in sorrow and wish that you had to serve God. That's what I'm here for, to tell you that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness, and God has sent me to testify the gospel to you. All right, so hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God, I'm feeling better already. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we all understand each other, we'll all get together. But as long as one tells you you can do one thing and another tells you you can do another thing, well, we're not going to know what we're doing. But when the ministry gets up and tells you that we're going to have to live for God or die and go to hell, we'll all get in one mind. Won't be no two ways about it, isn't that right? If you belong to the Baptist, if you don't live right, you're going to go to hell. Somebody say amen. If you belong to the Methodist and you don't live right, you're going to die and go to hell. If you belong to the Catholic Church and you don't live right, you're going to die and go to hell. Amen. If you're Pentecostal and you don't live right, you're going to die and go to hell. If you belong to the UPC and you don't live right, you're going to die and go to hell. Ain't no difference with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel good, don't you? Praise God. I believe we've got some children of God here that keep saying amen. They must believe in the truth. The Bible said you know the truth, Joe, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Praise God. You don't mind if I take this coat off? I tell you what, it's a hot. I'm soaking wet. Last night, I was soaked. When I get away from up here, I'm just soaking wet. When I get through preaching and just take and wring the water out of my socks a lot of time. All right, that feels a whole lot better. Feel like I took a dip in the pool and now I'm all cooled off. All right, now, so then we know that God tells us in His Word that something has got to be done. See, there is something that has to be done, children of God. God is not just an any old thing or just an any old way God. God is a systematic God. God has a program. God has a system for you and I. Have you ever noticed the stars? The stars come out at a certain time. They go in at a certain time. The moon comes up at a certain time. It goes down at a certain time. The sun comes up at a certain time. It goes out at a certain time. God is a systematic God. And all of the studies show that just over a period of a year, it hardly varies one, just maybe 2 or 3 minutes over a whole period of a year in its cycles. See, God is so systematic that everything God does is systematic. So then God and the church, God and religion, God and salvation is systematic in what He does. God wants us to be systematic. God's got a system. He's got a system. We're the body of Jesus, but God's got a system and God's expecting us to abide by that system. I'm not here tonight because I decided that I wanted to have a tent meeting. Somebody say, well, it's tent season. We better start setting the tent up. I don't do that. I could have set the tent up months ago. This is the first time this year they set up. I guess we must have had 8 or 9 tent meetings last year and preaching under other people's tent and setting our own tent. See, but this year we haven't set one tent meeting. This is the first time that we've set a tent meeting. We could have already set tent meetings all around the country, pressed the people and got thousands of dollars. But brothers and sisters, God has a program. This tent was to be set here the first time this year. It was to be set here in Charlotte. It wasn't to be set anywhere else until this time. And so then we set it here. And you can believe tonight that there's a great significance in this tent being in Charlotte tonight. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. We're not just here by chance, but by the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. There's a reason for us being here in Charlotte tonight. Hallelujah. So we've got this tent sitting here for a purpose. We've got this tent sitting here for a reason tonight. And that reason God knows, and I know because it revealed it to me. And if I had plenty of time and you had plenty of listening, I'd tell you about it. But I can't tell you in 15 minutes. It dates back farther than that. It goes back to some other things and ties in with a whole lot of things. But there's one thing we need to know, that God has a system. You know, I don't believe in this business of splitting up in denominations and splitting up in groups and non-denominationals and splitting up in sects and all these other kind of things. I believe that God has one church, one body. I don't believe He's ever had but one body. I don't believe there's any such thing as the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church and the Baptist Church and the Pentecostal Church. I don't believe that. I believe God's got one people, and every person in the world, whether yellow, black, red, or whatever, I believe that Eve is the mother of them. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said she's the mother of all living, and that's the people of the earth. It didn't say any such kind. Now, I might lose some people after I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. This thing about the white race being the Jew, being the true Jew, and them being the only Jews, they all, that's a bunch of foolishness. Amen. Amen. Glory to God, there ain't no such teaching in the Bible. Somebody sent me a book not too long ago telling about the special 144,000 who differ from everybody else. How do you know the 144,000 that Revelation speaks of is the eunuchs that are supposed to escort the bride, which is the 12 tribes of Israel? Amen. Hallelujah. So then people get all mixed up and they get bound up like a kitty with a ball of yarn. And they get some wild notion out here, and because it fits their desire, their fleshly carnal way of life, they take off with it and they don't know where they're going. They don't know where they've been and they don't know where they're at. You say, how do you know that? Because I've confronted some of them and I found that out. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that them people don't have any truth? I'm afraid they do. They've got some truth. The Catholics got some truth. The Baptists got some truth. The Methodists got some truth. The Pentecostals got some truth. The non-denominational got some truth. The UPC's got some truth. But the Bible's got all the truth. Hallelujah. This is the full gospel of God right here. We don't need a part of the truth. We need God's word. Hallelujah. I hear the other night that somebody went by and give Jim Baker a word from God. Now, I don't know, but what I don't feel exactly like he does about it, but I tell you what, they got him so stirred up, I can't hardly blame him for the outlook he took. They went by and gave him a word, and he said from now on, anybody else coming giving him a word, he was going to lift up his Bible and say, this is the only word of God I want right here. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I say, you get people so mixed up, they don't know what to do. That's why they do like that. You go by and say, thus saith the Lord, when you don't know whether it's thus saith the Lord or not. You just got a brainstorm of some inspiration and you don't know where it come from. Hallelujah. But I'm glad tonight I know that there ain't no prophecy unless it fits this word. There ain't no revelation unless it fits this word. Did you know that? I said there ain't no truths coming unless it fits this word. Anything you tell me, it's got to fit this word. If there's some tongues and interpretations, it's got to fit that word. If it don't fit that word, then it's not God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was God the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still God to every generation. He never has changed. You believe it? All right, so I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad to be a Christian. Glad to be able to say amen, hallelujah. I could be laying in the graveyard and couldn't say hallelujah. David said, if you put me out here on the ground, I can't praise you. But if you'll keep me right here before these people of Charlotte, I can say hallelujah. I can say amen. I can say praise the Lord. I can say glory to God, hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say glory to God? Praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. The Bible teaches that God inhabits the praise of his people. Isn't that right? God is the Spirit. What we need to do is come to the place to where we realize that God is a Spirit. And that God is there. Now look, if God is a Spirit, he's got to be some kind of Spirit. Isn't that right? How do you agree to that? If God is a Spirit, he's got to be some kind of Spirit. What kind of Spirit is he? A Holy Spirit, somebody said. Amen. What kind of Spirit is a Holy Spirit? Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. I said the other night, Johnson, while he was in office, he sent a little miniature whirl about 2.5 inches in diameter over to the Pope. On it he had inscribed his holiness. But our president was in error, beloved friend. The Pope was not his holiness. His holiness is now dead if he was his holiness. His holiness died a few days ago if the Pope was his holiness. So then Johnson made a mistake. He placed his faith and confidence in the wrong direction. Now if that's his holiness, what's his holiness going to do about helping him out of the situation? See, the Bible said God is the Spirit of holiness. There's but one, his holiness, that's God. The Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Even the Son of God himself, according to the Bible said the Son of God himself shall reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. And then after he puts all enemies under his feet, the Bible said the Son of God himself shall be subject to the Father. Come on now. And said the Father shall be all in all. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I like that. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Feeling so much better. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Glory to God. Makes you feel like shouting, Richard. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. You feel him? I do. I feel him all over me. And I said, Brother Pike, you ain't got all of him up there. Well, you better act like it out there then, because I know I've got him up here. I feel him up there. I tell it too. It makes me want to move. Makes me want to do something. Hallelujah. Bible said, if this Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall by this Spirit that dwells in your mortal body also quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad tonight I'm a Christian, folks. I'm glad tonight I understand the Lord. I'm thankful that there's other people in the world that's going to share this salvation with me. I'm thankful that I'm not the only one. There's other people that love God. There's other people that's fasted, other people that's prayed. There's other people that's give their lives. Did you know you're going to give your life to something? Have you ever thought of it like that? I said you are going to give your life to something, somebody, or somewhere, something. You're going to give your life to it. It might be a business. It might be a frolic. It might be in sports. It might be something else. It might just be eating and drinking and frolicking. Might be just trying to make money or trying to get rich. But you're going to give your life to something or somebody or something somewhere. And like I told my son today, I'm going to give mine to God. Hallelujah. He that seeketh to save his life shall lose his life. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall save his life. I'm going to give mine to God. You give yours to whoever you want to. But I'm going to give mine to God. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Praise God. What a wonderful thought to be a Christian. I want to give mine to God, Bill. I want to give mine to God. I got to give it to somebody. Every day is passing. Every day your life's going somewhere. Every day you're losing it, or every day you got it damned up somewhere. That is, you got it hemmed in somewhere for the cause of Christ. Ain't that right? Some people spend all their time powdering their nose and getting a new dress, trying to look good at every gathering. And that's fine. You ought to look your best. But brothers and sisters, you need to get your mind on the Word and get your faith in glory. You need to get your mind on God and think about God and think about doing something for God and realize the only lasting treasure is that which you do for Christ. Hallelujah. So then, knowing that I've got to give my life to somebody or something, I have made plans and preparation a long time ago to give it to God. Hallelujah. Don't you want to give your life to God? How would you like to give your life to God tonight? Would you like to give your time to God that God might reimburse you the judgment? Hallelujah. Love the Lord, Brother Cox. Amen. Praise God. You know, God's doing some strange things, isn't that right? God doing some strange things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Speaking of this tent being here and the strange reason for it, I made a statement not too long ago concerning a brother David Allen that's sitting back here, a wonderful person I've known for a long time. You have to pardon me while I put my shirt in. Hallelujah, just wants to slip out. Amen, it's a lot, like a lot of folks, you know, you turn your head and they slip out on you. I was out of the tent one night and a storm hit Brother Bobby, and that thing began to go up and down like a bird. And I said, just sit still, everything's under control. God isn't going to let anything happen. And I turned over this way and the ministers went out on that side. And I turned back this way and went out on that side. And I looked around and I began to have an empty place. Wasn't nobody left but just me in the tent and a few faithful saints of God. But God calmed her down. They all slipped out. Now you got a lot of faith till the turbulence starts. But after a while you start trying your faith and you'll find out which way they're going. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. So then, as I was saying about Brother David sitting back here, a wonderful man of God. He's been wonderful. Brother David has done the things that he understood to the best of his ability. And I'm sure that he saw many shortcomings along the way that he'd like to pull a few stitches here and there. I have. But nevertheless, we're talking about this tent being here. Brother David having the cleaners over here on Moorhead. He's got a big dry cleaners. As a matter of fact, I think it's the oldest dry cleaning plant here in Charlotte. Great big 2 or 3 story building there where he does thousands of dollars. And the Lord spoke to us and told us concerning this tent being here and concerning a number of other things that Brother David, his operation would be at an end over there, that God would bring it to an end. That the final consummation of it, that the thing would have to be torn down and be burned. Whereas Brother David's always believed what we said, and we kind of had to hit that place kind of light, because you go to talking about a man's business and a man's livelihood and you'll get a repercussion unless that man really believes in God and he's got something. But nevertheless, we hit it kind of light, and Brother David, he received it real well. Nothing didn't happen until just a few weeks ago, and Brother David came to me and said, Brother Pike, said, it looks like what you said is right down the line. So because we've already got word that they're running a highway through there, and they've already approved it from Charlotte and said that they will tear the building down, said it will have to come down. Now then, you might say, Brother Pike, what's that got to do with God? It's got to do a lot with God. You know what the name of that cleaners is? It's called the American Cleaners. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Be a little spiritual tonight. I said it's called American Cleaners. That cleaners had to do with the consummation of the United States. Did you know that? Now you say, well, I don't believe that. But then tell me, how did I know that something was going to happen to it? How did a carbon sky that God showed me something concerning it when there's cleaners all over the world? When there's people all over the world, why did God do that? Because the man's life follows a certain pattern. I understand his life in Revelation. Understand where he's going in Revelation. Understand his wife, Elvin, over here, where her life is in Revelation. I understand many of your lives in Revelation here tonight. That's why I believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why that tent here tonight, there's a specific reason, a special significance tonight in this tent being here. That's why Madeline O'Hara is coming up here to Charlotte. That's why she's got her plans to set right in the middle of the Bible Belt to overthrow the things of God. Don't you know, if this old world wasn't at an end, that he wouldn't let somebody like Madeline O'Hara go around here meddling? She lives up to her name, don't she? Madeline O'Hara. He wouldn't let her meddle very long if he wasn't ready to bring things to an end. Don't you know that God wouldn't let him move off of the, can God be trust off the money and all these other things if God hadn't brought things to an end? Don't you know the Bible has outsold every other book in the history of the world until just not too long ago when Marx's book of communism began to rise up above it? Don't you know when God does that, there's something going on, that everything is at an end, that everything has come down to trail's end? Do you understand that? See, everything's coming to a close. God's doing something, friend. I wonder tonight if you can take the same attitude that our brother did when he confessed it. He said, you know that it started with me, so that I'm ready to get out of the dry cleaning business anyway. Been in there for many long years. But it swallowed it down, said, I'm ready to get out of it anyway. I wonder when God asks you for every dollar you got and asks you for your business and asks you for your church and asks you for your license, asks you for your organization, I wonder if you're going to drop it in and say, if that's what God wants, that's the way I want it. I'm afraid a lot of them ain't going to do it. They're too big and too powerful and got too much money and too much prestige, and they'll never turn loose of their position. They'll never turn it loose to give up to God. You watch and see if they turn it loose when the crisis come. They'll go with the world. Amen. You got deep roots, folks. Isn't that right? Some of you got too deep a root. You're down deep. You dug deep, but you didn't build on a rock. Isn't that right? Your roots is down there all right, but they're not down there with Jesus. You got deep roots, but you got them in the wrong place. You're rooted too deep in this world. You should be rooted and grounded in God. Isn't that right? For the Bible said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And if you're not rooted up, that means you'll be with God. If you're not with God, that means you'll be rooted up. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So it's a wonderful salvation. Time of rejoicing, hallelujah. Time of inspiration. A time of doing something for God. Those regions of the dam is hot down yonder. Did you know that? Just look at this little heat we got around here. What is it? The sun about 93 million miles away from the earth. Isn't that right? And here we got so much heat down here we can't hardly stand it. But just think, the Bible said, hail from beneath us, move for to meet thee at thy coming, enlarge itself without measure. Think about that. Think about how hot that place is down there. You know, there's one thing I appreciate about Jesus. You say, what's that, Brother Pine? That Jesus didn't have to go to hell on his own. As far as that is, when I say on his own, I mean having sinned. He went for a purpose, for the cause of God. Isn't that right? He didn't have to go down there. Though he did go down there. How do you know that Jesus went to hell? A lot of people don't know Jesus went to hell. Jesus went to hell. Somebody said, you crazy, preacher. No, I'm not crazy. You just don't understand. If Jesus hadn't went to hell, I'd have had to go into hell. Because the price that had to be paid for sin was to go into hell. That's why the prophet said, and God suffered not his Holy One to see corruption. That is his body in the grave, coming out before the 4 days when corruption sets in. And the Bible said he suffered not his Holy One's soul to remain in hell. That is, his body went into the grave, his soul went into hell, his spirit went into paradise. What's that got to do with us, preacher? That means that there's three classes of people in the earth that falls into three different categories. That means one of them is the Jew, the body that went into darkness. Is that right? And God will bring them out before they see corruption. Watch and see. A day is 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is a day. Amen. By the time that 3,000 rolling around, you'll see him get him up out of the tomb. Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciled of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Which is the resurrection. We see him coming in right there. Isn't that right? God said, no matter where you're scattered, I'll gather you together. Amen. And bring you into your own country. What about the second class of people? There's another class of people. It's called the Protestant people, which refers back to the Roman powers, the great Catholic Church, the empire of the Dark Age. What happened to that part of the body, which is represented by the soul of Jesus? If the Jews is represented by the body and they went into the grave, then what happened to those others that the soul represents? You remember the Dark Age, when millions of martyrs was killed and blood run. Blood represents fire. Did you know that? The Bible said he suffered not the soul of his Holy One to remain in hell. That means that the Roman powers, the Protestant, the Protestant world or the Gentile world, all one and the same. All one and the same. That they go down into the deep domains of the dark pit. They go down into the flames of hell. You understand what I'm saying? There's another class of people. It's called the church people. That's really the genuine church people. The typical part of it was that they come into America, a type of Canaan land. But the true church, just as the spirit of Christ went into paradise, the true church has been translated. Their spirit gone into the paradise of God. For at death, the Bible said, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. When the body dies, the spirit leaves the body, and the spirit goes back to God. For the Bible said, God hath already right now translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And we're waiting to witness the redemption of our body. Is that right? As a true fact, that there has in the past been a great revival That revival, what has it been? That revival has been to save your spiritual man. Translated into the kingdom of God. Not requiring one work, not one work, just faith in God. But brothers and sisters, we've now come to the redemption of the body. God saved your spirit by the atonement of Calvary. But God is expecting you to save yourselves from this underworld generation by redeeming your body from sin, by being holy in body as well as spirit. Is that right? That's where holiness comes in. I said the other night, there's two meanings over there that you can get out of grace. One of them is a grace that God gave, and the Bible said when he ascended up from the grave, he gave it unto the rebellious also. Read it in the Holy Scriptures. Said that he gave that grace unto the rebellious also, that they might have a day of mercy. But that is a dispensational grace that God gave until the day of the redemption of the body. So that he would not have to destroy you like he did the Jews in their day when he made the earth open up and swallow. But that kind of grace can never give you salvation. It only gives you time to get salvation. But there is another thing that is spoken of in the Bible. It's the same grace. Paul said, one spirit, many operations. It's another operation of grace. Is that right? You say, what is that? The Bible said the grace unto salvation, not dispensational grace that allows for murderers and drunkards and harlots and topless clubs and drunken halls and everything else. Not that kind of grace. But the grace of God that hath appeared unto every man, hallelujah, bringing salvation, the Bible said. The grace of God unto salvation, having appeared to you and me and every man throughout the world. Teaching them that denying worldly lust, that they should live soberly and righteously in this present world. Is that right? That's the kind of grace that'll take you into glory. If you'll live soberly, if you'll live righteously, if you'll be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect, if you'll forgive men of their trespasses, your Father will forgive you your trespasses. If you hold resentment and hatred and bitterness in your heart, my brother and sister, I don't care how bad that person seems to be to you. I don't care what they've done to you. When you lay down on your death pillow, you're going to die and go to hell. Come on, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you what the Bible says. That's the way the book reads, hallelujah. So then, we're talking about redemption of the body. When you get a healing in your body, you got redemption. Did you know that? When God works a miracle in your body, you've got redemption. That much of your body's been redeemed back to health and been redeemed back to strength. But God is wanting to change that old terrestrial body of yours into a celestial. Is that right? Amen. And I'm glad we're getting down to the finish line. Every one of you that won't give your body to God to glorify God in your bodies, the Bible said Brother Pike's going to trample your ashes under his feet in the day of the millennium. You wouldn't want to do that, now would you? I said, you wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want the saints of God walking on your ashes. But that's what the Bible said. And the ashes of the wicked shall be trodden under their feet. For the day shall come when it shall utterly burn them up. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, if it's going to burn them up, how are they going to suffer in hell? That's where the worm goes. The Bible said, I'll help thee, thou worm, Jacob. Where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to stand with me. I'm just getting started tonight, but I better let you stand because we done said a whole lot here already. And I've let you out at a goodly time every night. I know that's tormenting. The Bible said that they were down there across that great gulf and they looked up there and saw Lazarus drinking that water. Come on now. Amen. He said, I just wish you'd pass the glass. Amen. Hallelujah. Didn't say it just like that, did it? Said he saw him across a great gulf over there in Abraham's bosom, but he was drinking the waters of life. See, that rich man wasn't talking about natural water. Isn't that right? Well, you couldn't have got within 5,000 miles of hell with a glass of water, let alone a drop. Isn't that right? So I wasn't talking about that. He's talking about that living water. Oh, if I had one drop. Jesus said, woman, Said, if you just let me give you a little bit of this water, you won't never thirst anymore. Never have to come to draw anymore. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Praise God. I want you to sing a little chorus with me. I love you. And I appreciate you. I really do appreciate you. From my heart. There's much to be done, children of God. But remember, we can be self-will. We can set up our own way of life. We can set up our own system of life. We can do our own things. But for that, we'll have to come into the judgment. But it'd be so much better to take God's way of life and to take God's system and to take God's things and do what God wants us to do. Isn't that right? It'd be so much better if I think God's thoughts instead of my own thoughts. Isn't it right? Wouldn't it be better? Just think how wonderful it would be. I said, Brother Pike, what are you trying to bring us to? I'm trying to tell you this. That if you have the mind of Jesus in you, it'll give you eternal life. Won't it? Sure. It'll make you young and healthy forever. How many of you like to live forever? Amen. You like life pretty good? Somebody said, bless God with all the hurting and pain I got. I ain't talking about death. I'm talking about life. You know, you can be here and it not be life. It just be what you call a living death. Isn't that right? You can be in what they call a living hell, Brother Cantrell. That's right. So then, it's not always life. Just to be alive, not always life. But there is a life, joy, peace, righteousness, all the good things that God can give you. There's a life. Oh, hallelujah. You wake up in the morning, you throw your arms out, you say, glory to God, and you feel good and no pressure. Draw in a breath of fresh air, and it goes all the way through them lungs. You feel like you're about 16 years old with a fishing pole on your shoulder going down through the sweet shrub to the creek to fish and swim a little bit on a springtime morning. Sure. Smell the roses, the sweet shrubs. Sang a song. Don't care where you come back for another year. What a wonderful time. I used to do that when I was a kid. I guess that's why I like it that way. But see, what a wonderful thought to be alive, to be alive, to be alive in every fiber of your body, every part of your body, to be alive and to be living, to be living. There's so many people in the world today that's not really alive. They're just half alive. That's right. Arthritis, heart trouble, nerve condition, fears, complex of life, perplexities, bewilderments, pains. Oh, so many aches, grunts, grumbles, vicious spirits of lust that torment them day and night. Spirits of gossip and aggravation, agitation, all aggravating them day and night. Doubts, despondency. The world calls it the blues. Half living. But glory to God, what a wonderful thing it is to live. My eyes just dropped on my sister here. Sister Anna from she's out of Texas, I believe. Out down near the Mexico line. I just noticed her as we moved about there, but she was down there in bad shape, had some kind of bad growth or disease or whatever it was. Growth, I believe it was, the way they described it. We do quite a bit of work down in old Mexico. She happened to get a hold of one of our tracts on God's healing word. And she began to read it and began to believe. And as she began to believe, she was healed. And the growth passed from her body. She went back to the doctor, understanding the doctor told her it was gone. Passed away. Before then, she was going to have an operation. I remember a couple of more cases where we prayed for people. And you know, some people are skeptics. Did you know that? I don't care what you do. They're just going to doubt. They're going to find fault. They're going to say things. I don't care what you believe. If you buy a Chevrolet, they feel like you ought to got a Buick. If you get a Buick, they say, well, that ain't no good. Anybody know better than to get that. You ought to got a Ford. If you get a Ford, they say, well, anybody know better than to get a Ford. You ought to get a Chevrolet. That's how mixed up some people are. If you're Baptist, they say you ought to be Methodist. If you're Methodist, they say you ought to be Catholic. If you're Catholic, they say you ought to be Church of God. If you're Church of God, they say you ought to be Assembly. If you're Assembly, they say you ought to be UPC, and I say you ought to be a Christian. All right. But anyway, we prayed for these two people. I remember one at one time of life and one at another time of life. And I told them, I said, the Lord healed you. They were scheduled for an operation. There was three of them. I prayed for this one. I said, God healed you. They said, Brother Pike, I believe it. I said, I know God healed me. But when they left, they went on and had their operation. When they had the operation, the doctor said, it's negative. Something has happened. I prayed for another one and I told them the story of the one that came up negative. I said, now I felt God heal you. Don't you go do like the other one done. Brother Pike, I know God healed me. They went right on and had the operation. The doctors operated. They said it's negative. I prayed for another woman. She had spots on her lungs. Here, they took x-rays and had spots on the lung. The woman went back. She took my word for it. She went back, had them to re-examine her, and the spots was gone. God will do something for you if you'll let God do something for you. Isn't that right? I remember praying for a little boy over here in Hendersonville, North Carolina. The Lord straightened his little crooked eye up. He's a big boy now. It's still straight. One over here in LaGrange, Georgia, the eye drawed into the nose. We prayed for it, and God straightened it up. Today, he's a grown man. His eye's perfectly straight. His dad accepted it. His mother accepted it. It went on for a number of years, and his dad took a notion he wanted to preach. He was just a novice. I tried to talk to him. He wouldn't listen. He went around and told everybody. Said, Brother Pike didn't pray the prayer of faith for my little boy. Said, I prayed the prayer of faith for him. Said, that's what straightened his eye up. So it wasn't but just a few months. He had another little boy born. That little boy born with his eye turned into his nose. And everybody wonders why he hasn't straightened it up. It never has straightened up. Man got so disgusted and discouraged, he quit preaching, and now he's drinking, cursing, doing everything else. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I prayed for a woman. The woman had to have a heart operation. Wasn't a dying condition. We prayed for her. And the Lord healed the woman. But the woman, I say this, I guess I'll get myself a blot. Somebody try to love me anyway, will you? Praise God. The woman was a woman preacher. God healed her. It was a serious thing. She's about to die. She found out I didn't believe in women preachers, so she went to another deliverance evangelist and stood up in the church and testified how that he prayed the prayer of faith and how that God healed her. In a few days, she was dead. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Outstanding woman preacher, noted across the country. All right, so God's a good God. And I say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you don't believe in women preachers? I don't believe in men preachers. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, now watch you try to weasel out of it now. You done got your foot in, you're going to try to weasel out of it. How many believe in the Holy Ghost? Praise God. You believe what the Holy Ghost says too, don't you? It said, I suffer not a woman to teach. Somebody said, well, that ain't got nothing to do with preaching. Matthew 28 and the Great Commission. It said, go therefore, preach the gospel, teaching them. Amen. These churches that are so foolish, they'll have a woman put her into the pulpit and say she can't baptize. Who ever heard of such? The 28th chapter said that they got to go baptizing. Amen. Is that right? Even if you have to do it by the Holy Ghost, but by one Spirit, we all become a member of the body. All baptized into one body by one Spirit. Hallelujah. And they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. You love Jesus? I could go on tonight giving you a lot of testimonies of divine healing. God has done a lot of things for us in our lifetime. A lot of miracles through finance. A lot of miracles through healing. A lot of great outstanding things that God has done for us. But you know what? I want God to do something in Charlotte, don't you? Hallelujah. Somebody needs healing in Charlotte. I testified last night about the young man that come here. We prophesied to him and told him some things. He come back and said, Brother Pike, it's God. Said, it's exactly what we've been talking about. I was trying to make my decision. Said, because you spoke of my work and what God wanted me to do. And said, I backslid on God to the extent that I pulled away from the ministry 6 years. And said, I've been trying my best to convince myself not to go back into the ministry because I'm in school. And said, the Lord's telling me I got to go back into the ministry, and me and my wife and my teacher has been discussing it. He was a stranger to us, but we prophesied over him spoke to him in the name of the Lord, and it shook him up. You love Jesus? While they're playing on the organ, Christian friend and sinners, I want you to listen. Jesus died for you while you was yet in your sins. When I was a sinner, He died for me. And the goodness of God has led me to repentance. You know, my brother Junior, he's here somewhere, my natural brother. He got a lot of wisdom. I heard him one time, he's talking about people at work, the platform, and people that sing and do different things, you know, and how that they ought to work with the people. And he don't have much education, but he got a lot of sense. Made a lot of money in his lifetime. But he said, brother, said, you know, the way it is, said, it's like a woman that's making biscuits. Says she'll make her a big old batch of dough. It's all out of shape. Take some flour, put a little water in, finally get a ball out of it. And said what she'll do, she'll pinch off a little dough and said she'll roll it a little while and then she'll gently pat it until it gets just like she wants it. Said then she'll put it in the oven and when she puts it in the oven, said it'll get nice and firm. Said now brother, that's the way you got to do people. Said when them people's up, when they're up there on the platform, you got to get that person, pinch off a little bit, roll it up and gently pat it till you get work just right. And then you put it in the fire, said it'll set it just right and it'll stay right there. How many believe that's true? That's the way God does, hallelujah. He just gently wants to pat you a little bit. But like one of the preachers said one time, sometimes He'll pat you on the backside of your lap. Somebody say, I love Jesus. If you don't do right. All right, so there's two or three ways to do it. Amen. That's a good way to get a paddling. You can get a pat or you can get a paddling. Whichever way. So if you want to just be like the biscuits and just get a good gentle patting, you know, like that. Just gentle, just kind of run into the heat a little bit to get you firm. Just submit to God. But if you want to get a good hard paddling, just resist the ordinance of God. The Bible said it's hard to kick against the pricks. Isn't that why God said, I will pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. For the prayers of the wicked is abomination in my sight. You know, you hear a lot of people, they say, well, Brother Pike, I know I'm a wicked person or a sinner, but God hears me just like He does anybody else. Don't you ever let the devil tell you that. You say, the devil didn't tell me that. It is the devil telling you that. Anything contrary to God's word is the devil. And the Bible said, we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. And how much less the wicked? For He said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. So then God isn't going to listen to you. I admit that there's a day of grace right now. And the blood is on the seat of atonement right now. And because of that, God's having mercy right now. And you get by right now. And a lot of things happen to you good that won't be happening to you good later. You say that, Brother Pike, if God don't hear a sinner's prayer, you think I'm foolish enough to believe that? If God don't hear a sinner's prayer, how can a sinner get saved? You want me to tell you how? Jesus said, you didn't seek me, I sought you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Isn't that right? I've died for you while you were yet in your sins. Is that right? Amen. That's how you got saved. Somebody said, no, wait a minute. What about the rest of it? The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. When the preacher preaches the word of God, he that heareth and faith cometh up in the heart. He'll come because he belongs to God. But the Bible said no man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. Is that right? All right. Somebody said, well, if I come up here, Brother Pike, and I repent of my sins, I know God will receive me. No, sir, you can come up here and repent of your sins. You can stand right here and cry till you fall on your face and God won't hear you. Is that right? The Bible said Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and never found no place of repentance. He repented and cried, but he didn't find any. You know why? Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God don't give eternal life through repentance. Come on now. If God give eternal life through repentance, everybody in the world will have it. Because even the devil at one time or another gets repentive. The Bible said the devil humbles himself. The devil believes. Is that right? So it isn't given through repentance. The Bible teaches you are elect according to what God foreknew. God foreknew who would and who wouldn't. And He sent a preacher into this world, and out of your own sovereignty, you have a chance to listen at Him and hear Him. You do have a chance to repent. That's true. But see, two of you may come up here and repent, and when you go away, one goes this way and one goes that way. That right, a Jacob and an Esau. See, so it isn't the crocodile tears, somebody said. It's real, genuine getting down to business with God. Pray, the Bible tells you and me, we are Christians. It tells us to pray. Pray, you pray, I pray. Christians pray. A royal priesthood of intercession. You pray as the body of Christ, interceding. You pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. That's our job, Christian. If you've got sinner friends out there, if you've got loved ones, if they're unsaved, you be praying that God will grant repentance unto life unto them. That's your job. You love Jesus? See, God won't approach on nobody's sovereignty, will he? He'll let you do just like you want to, but he'll let you go to hell too. He'll let you do just like you want to. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. All right, let's sing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to keep you standing so long. Let's sing this little chorus. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it again. Oh, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul.